This is an MUT Radio podcast.
The State of the Nation's Address is an annual event in South Africa where the president now addresses a joint sitting of the parliament to provide an overview of the government's plans and achievement for the upcoming year. So this is the last State of the Nation address for His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa ozobe ithula kulonyaka. We do not know whether ilokhuzana item yakhe izophinde yenze njani beyi extend. So right about now, ladies and gentlemen, on the line, we do have Advocate Sipho Mantula. Advocate Sipho Mantula is the human rights lawyer on cultural, religious, and language-related issues. Okonage lapayana eUNISA from what we call Thabombeki African School of Public and International Relations. Advocate Mantula, welcome to EMUT Radio.
Thank you, my brother Nyabonga Asantesana. Thank you for this invitation and for this opportunity to engage with your listeners on the issues of the affairs of the state, and also to look at the, as you said, that the international matters and also how they relate to us in South Africa.
Thank you so much for that. Maybe just to dive into it, Advocate, we want to know, what are your thoughts on the current state of public and international affairs?
I think our current state as South Africa and as Africa, it has been very clear that the 21st century, as the former President Thabo Mbeki has said, is an African century. We are able to shape the world affairs. We are able to shape the public affairs. Yes, we have domestic challenges back at home, climate change challenges, and issues also of what you can call crime and even domestic challenges. Those are the issues that one can raise now. As young people and as the students, as we are engaging, we should find ourselves looking at the state of public and international affairs. They have to relate also to our development. So, in short, that's how I will perceive our state of public and international affairs.
How do you think these challenges, as you have mentioned them, can be addressed effectively?
No, I think these challenges will be addressed by simple things, by communication, coordination and education, hence even you as you are in the institution of higher learning. It's part of us to always educate our learners about our foreign policy, engage our learners also on our public policy in the government, both national, provincial and local government. So it is important for us to always say that how do we resolve this? Education is still a key component, but also accountability by the state officials or public servants is also important.
I want us to incorporate ESONA 2024. What are some of the expectations now for the public and international affairs in the 2024 ESONA?
Remember that this is the last state of the nation in terms of the sixth administration, and in terms of geopolitics, South Africa has also shaped and shaped the global affairs in terms of our presence in the BRICS. Last year, we just hosted the BRICS summit. We've been active in the SADC and in the African Union. Our role in resolving conflict in the continent has been seen also. So if we look, one expects that the president will touch on our role in the continent, our role in the global affairs, and recently our matter that we took to the International Court of Justice. Those are the issues that might be part of the state of the nation. Remember, this is not only the wish list, but it's also a report back, what have we achieved? And also you can look at the international sports arena, the art and culture arena. Those are the aspects that a president will be able to say, this is our achievements internationally and continentally. And these are our challenges that we are facing as we are moving towards the seventh SONA that will come post after the general elections. So the SONA of today is more of reflecting, and the president might go back memory lane to 1994 to 2024. So I think listeners must also look at the role that the founding president Nelson Mandela played in 1994, the role that was played by President Thabo Mbeki, the role played by President Jacob Zuma, the role played by the acting president Kgalema Motlanthe, and the current role that is played by President Ramaphosa. So that's how I think they will be able to look at our successes and our challenges. And as you know, the international community, there's been this challenge of the load shedding, the energy aspect in terms of security of energy, the issues of water, even scarcity, the issue of climate change, having floods in most of the African countries, including South Africa, also in your province, that there have been challenges of floods. So every issue that you might think of that the president will cover today, I think it will just cover that our role in international affairs is now shaping and even shaking the global affairs.
Speaking of the international relation themes, or should we call it the key aspect of international relations, we speak of the African agenda, economic diplomacy, bilateral relations, the South-South cooperation, we speak of BRICS, etc. Are we doing right now on all these aspects, or are there still any shortcomings in our doings?
No. Definitely, I think we are doing well. We are trying, by all means, as a country, to be present in the multilateral systems. Our role at the UN Security Council in the last 8 years, you'll recall that we have been at the UN Security Council as a non-permanent member. We've been involved at the World Health Organization, the Human Rights Council, the BRICS, as I mentioned, the BRICS. You find that even in the Commonwealth or the G77, the G20, the G7 meetings that came out just when South Africa was invited. So I think in the international level, we are making moves, but the international moves and foreign policy moves must also translate in our domestic achievements. And I think that's where we are still making in terms of translating our international achievements, our domestic achievements, because it appears that there is no synergy there. So that's how I will assume that maybe the president might look at our role, where we are identifying our national strategic goals. What do we want to see in the global affairs? If you are part of BRICS, what is it that you want in the BRICS? If you are part of the United Nations, what do we want to achieve from the United Nations? If you are part of the AU, what do you want to achieve, or the SADC?
Yeah.
So all these multilateral bodies that you have mentioned, our role as South Africa is also to empower the young people. We need to have more young diplomats, more young international relations learners and international legal minds to be involved in shaping and repositioning the role of South Africa in the global affairs.
Advocate, I need us to reflect now on the recent case South Africa actually launched against Israel in the ICJ, accusing Israel of committing genocide against Palestine. What this entails, and does this mean, Uguti, there's going to be any animosity between Israel and South Africa?
Already you can see this animosity amongst the diplomats, where Israel was accusing South Africa for being a legal arm of Hamas. I think what South Africa did, it was just a moral case or the moral concern. Hence, they took the matter to the World Court of Justice. And as a member of the Geneva Convention, it was our obligation to stop genocide where we see the acts and the signs of genocide. Remember, Africa has went through genocide in Rwanda, in Somalia, in the DRC, in the many African countries. In Namibia also, there's been genocide. But South Africa had to take the bull by its horns and challenge the hypocrisy of the Israel Zionism thinking of occupying Palestine for almost more than 70 years. You know, so I think our case is that South Africa is not creating enemies, but we are trying to reshape the international law. And I think, as you know, the matter is still pending, it's still going on. South Africa was able last month to pursue the 17 judges about what they saw as the acts of genocide. And I think even in KwaZulu-Natal, immediately after the judgment, there was a lot of international debate that was taking place in terms of what are the implications and the impacts. Others might say economically we might suffer, but I don't think so. I think what we did was to just challenge the international system and to expose the hypocrisy of the Israeli government against the people of Palestine.
A lot of people, advocate, were confused regarding the ruling ICJ actually presented. ICJ did not call for a ceasefire, but rather determined that Israel must take actions now to prevent all this genocidal violence by its armed forces, akhona lapha nako Hamas nako Gaza, and also to ensure that now all the humanitarian aid to Gaza is is increased. Can you please unpack maybe this ruling for us? Because we are confused and a lot of South Africans were confused.
So I don't think people are even confused. I think the global media confused people when they interpreted those provisional orders, measures that came out. The matter is that South Africa was able to convince the court that there are signs and the signal that shows that acts of genocide have been committed against the people of Middle East.
Yeah.
And South Africa was able to also get the United Nations World Court to warn Israeli government. There was language that it was with immediate effect. The Israeli military must move out of Gaza. They must begin to punish and deal away with genocidal acts.
Yeah.
So it is important when you read that judgment, read between the those lines of not having emotions, because we didn't take Israel to the court only to be punished, but it was for them to comply with their obligation under Geneva Convention not to commit acts of genocide. Despite that, they wanted to raise self-defense, but South Africa was able to also further convince the United Nations Security Council. If you recall, a week ago, when the Algerian government pushed for the implementation now of the ICJ orders, saying that we need now immediate cessation of the ceasefire on humanitarian basis. So you'll understand South Africa's case was under humanitarian factor, was also around the killings and the genocide convention and the genocide definition. So the global media confused many people about that. We did not get what we want. Remember, this case is still on a merit level now. It's still going for another phase. And there are many countries who are still taking Israel to the ICJ, to the ICC. So we have a lot of legal avenues that are opening up after our case to the World Court. So we can say South Africa was able to expose and unmask the international perpetrators of human rights violation. And I don't think it is a need for us to try to explain this judgment unless people want us to can define or explain this judgment in Mandarin or in Russian language or in isiZulu or in cause, but the judgment was very clear that South Africa was able to shake the global powers as like the USA as well as the Germans and the allies of Israel.
I think one thing esiphinde sayithola la ukuthena sibonile ukuthena there is someone actually from South Africa that was announced as the new judge of the ICJ, Dr. Reddy. What can be your word, Njena, just to congratulate him, Lapog?
No. Finally, I will say, having known Professor Direta, he's a very passionate person on international law, and I think we have made a move to have one of our own at the International Court of Justice, and I think this is a great move, and I can assure you he's going to shape the world. He's going to represent the voice and the faces of those victims and survivors of global human rights violations. He's got experience, he's got the know-how, he's been a teacher of law, so he's going to practicalize the teachings of law now in the court of law. And that's how we should also try to say that there must be more direct ideas in this country who have passion on international law and human rights law.
Thank you so much, Advocate, for honoring the invite here too. We know that you are a busy person, Nama News Press, Owenzayo, left, right, and center. But thank you so much. As MUT Radio and also Imango Sweet University of Technology, Siyagu Klonipa Kakulu, Uvolwako, about this 2024. Ube no sugolumnand.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.